This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Amherst Hockey, tonight at 7 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, we'll talk some Amherst hockey before 6 o'clock. Don Stevens will have the call at 7 o'clock, and he'll be joining us here on the Sports Bar with a preview of tonight's action against Cleveland from Blue Cross Arena. Before we get to all of that, let's talk some NFL draft. The Combine next week. Our draft expert from CBSSports.com. And I don't know, Gene, I take a lot of pride in the fact that we call 585 when we talk to Chris Trapasso in the Sports Bar with Danger
Medaglia. I take pride in saying I once had a beer with Chris Trapasso.
Yes.
Yes, you did too. Chris, how have you been, bud?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How about yourself?
Chris, we're just looking forward to the draft here coming up. You've got some new rankings out on CBS Sports. And, you know, with any draft conversation, always starts with the quarterbacks. And your rankings here, putting Drew Lock right now at the top there. But I would just be curious, Chris, as far as Lock compared to last year's class, because we all did so much homework and Bills fans were so invested in that draft class. But if you had to compare the top quarterbacks this year to the top quarterbacks last year, I'm guessing last year was much better. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would put Lock right there in the mix, though, maybe not at the top. But although there was a lot of criticism, including for myself, about Josh Allen, I think with Drew Lock, you have a similar type quarterback, and first 2 months of the season, Josh Allen did not look like an NFL starter. The last 2 months of the season, after he returned from injury, I think he, you know, looked like one of the most exciting young quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks in the NFL, along with Baker Mayfield. So I think with Drew Lock, you get a big arm, you get pretty good athleticism, and tons of experience. And that, to me, it's not something that I think a lot of people look at, and in this day and age, it's all about just hitting that quarterback, and you see a few games if you like them, and then that's it. But I think of all positions, I want my quarterback to have played as many games as possible, seen as many coverages as possible at the college level, seen as many blitzes as possible. And when you look at Drew Lock, he started for 4 years in the SEC. Dwayne Haskins, 1 year as a starter. Kyler Murray, 1 year as a starter. There's just some things they have not experienced on the football field that Drew Lock has struggled through, and I think as a senior got much better being calm inside the pocket and making better decisions.
Chris, when you're talking about this quarterback class going into this draft, and you could talk about teams that have needs at the position, do you get the sense that any of these teams are in love with any of these guys? I mean, we've heard from Haskins how much he would love to play for the Giants, and we just talked about that rumor of Russell Wilson, you know, when his deal is up, not signing with Seattle so that he could pursue another team, presumably the New York Giants. Could you see the Giants passing on a Haskins, or could you see the Dolphins passing on a Kyler Murray based on the idea that they just don't love this quarterback class?
Yeah, I think that could happen. I ultimately think, though, that every year there are just GMs and coaches that feel the need to pick a quarterback. I'm not going to say that this is as uninspiring or as bad as the 2011 class, but at Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, all sandwiched in between, you know, future Hall of Famers like J.J. Watt, Tyron Smith was in that draft. It was just a really good draft class outside of the quarterback, and that position got pushed up just because of the value. But certainly, if a team like the Giants has some inside scoop that they could maybe get Russell Wilson after this season, I think they would be smart to pass on a Dwayne Haskins or a Kyler Murray. Because Russell Wilson, though he's a unique quarterback, he just had his highest completion percentage in 2015 this year, the most touchdowns he's ever thrown for, 35, his highest passer rating, but it seems like the Seahawks don't want to make it Russell Wilson's team. They want to run the football. We saw in that playoff game, they will just run, pass. They can't really block very well, so it's kind of a weird strategy when you have someone as unique and as chance at Ezra Russell Wilson. I can't really say that I know or think that that kind of trade or the Seahawks would let Russell Wilson hit free agency and sign with the Giants. But I think there are enough question marks with Paxton and Kyler Murray, although, you know, very talented in their own right, that one or two teams that seem destined to pick a quarterback in April may actually pass on them and either pick a quarterback later or would have already addressed it via free agency this year or maybe addressed it next year in free agency.
One player who did go number 9 overall, albeit in baseball, Kyler Murray. Here's the thing with Murray. I'm just going to point out the obvious. Can somebody with that lack of height, Chris, succeed from the pocket in today's NFL?
Most quarterbacks, no. And I think that's what a lot of people are pointing to, that, hey, you know, yes, Drew Brees is there, there's Baker Mayfield, there's Russell Wilson. They're outliers, and that most of the quarterbacks under 6'1 or 6' have failed at the NFL level. I think Kyler Murray is an outlier in that same group with Brees and with Baker Mayfield and with Russell Wilson. I'm not going to say he's going to set the all-time touchdown record necessarily, but in watching his film, his 1 year at Oklahoma, I saw someone that going into the year, I knew the hype of this, you know, awesome Mike Vick type prospect coming out of high school. I was expecting him to just run all over the field and just run for 2,000 yards in the Big 12, but especially as the season progressed, he showed a lot of patience inside the pocket, and he would look to the right side of the field, not like what he would see, look to the middle, and then make a throw over to the left side of the field. He definitely has the arm strength to play at the NFL level, and I think, you know, some of that comes from his baseball background, that you're kind of surprised when you see him throw the football because he is so small. I think he wants to win from the pocket. I think he knows that he can scramble and pick up 10 yards after 4 or 5 seconds if no one's there. So that's why I have him as my second quarterback ahead of Dwayne Haskins. So I think he's more ready inside the pocket and wants to win there and can win there more consistently than Haskins at this point.
We're talking NFL Draft with Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris, some of your more recent work on the site, talking on the defensive side of the ball. We've got linebackers. We've got edge pass rushers. The Bills, assuming that they stay at 9, we've discussed ad nauseum who might be available to them there. But let's break down some of your top fives from both the linebackers and the edge pass. Let's start with the edge pass rushers. How do you see that shaking out here come April?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of edge rushers go in the top 10. Potentially the first 3 picks of the draft could be edge rushers. I've talked about it since I've come on the show during the football season, that if we went into the year with the edge rusher and the defensive line class being super hyped, and it really lived up to the hype, and a few guys that weren't really expected to be there at the top had great seasons. I mean, Quinnen Williams at defensive tackle was a rotational player at Alabama last year, and he was arguably the best player in all of college football this year. Nick Bosa is my number one overall player in the entire draft, obviously the number one edge rusher then. Just like his brother, can win in a variety of ways, and that's the most important. We've seen that in Buffalo with Jerry Hughes, that he can win just with pure speed off the edge. He can win with a counter move back to the inside, a spin move, get up and under tackles and push them into the quarterback. Joey Bosa gives you that, but he's 6'4" and 260-plus pounds, so he has the size as well. Josh Allen from Kentucky is probably going to be the second or third overall pick. Not as refined as a pass rusher, but is going to apparently blow the doors off the combine starting next weekend just with his athleticism at a similar size, 6'5" and 260 pounds. Cleveland Furl from Clemson. We saw him in that national title game against Alabama, just all over the field, had a great battle with Jonah Williams. Very long, very athletic, kind of ascending in terms of what he can do with his hands to beat offensive linemen if he can't win on athleticism alone. And then you just get deeper into the first round, into the second round, and it's not a position I think the Bills, you know, won't, you know, address, because they do have Jerry Hughes over. Shaq Lawson played better, but he's not necessarily someone that they can maybe rely on after Hughes retires or if he starts to dip in production. Montez Sweat is the other name that I'll bring up from Mississippi State. At the Senior Bowl, he was arguably the best defensive player there, measured in at 6'6 with almost 36-inch arms. That's incredible length. He converts speed to power very, very well for being a taller player. Very high motor, too. You don't see him taking any plays off. He'll chase running backs from the backside. It's just a really good edge rusher class. And even if a bunch go early, second or third round, if the Bills feel like they want to add some more depth, because Sean McDermott does like to go deep on the defensive line, there's going to be guys who can contribute right away. It's that good of a class on the edge.
CBS Sports draft expert Chris Trapasso joining us here in the Sports Bar. As you know, for Bills fans, there is another hole on this team. Kyle Williams retiring, and yes, you do have Harrison Phillips, but a player, gosh, when some of these mocks first came out right after the draft last year, you had some mocks saying, well, Buffalo will pick first, and that pick will be Ed Oliver. Well, Ed Oliver still could go in the top 10. So Ed Oliver's senior year, and I know we've talked about this before, but now that we've had a little bit of distance between whatever happened between him and his coach, I mean, that's going to be all brought up, I would think, next week in all these interviews. And, you know, as far as Ed Oliver at number 9, would that be good value for the Buffalo Bills, in your opinion, Chris?
Yes, I think that would be great value. He's my number 3 overall player going into the combine. And I'm certainly not expecting him to have a poor combine. You know, I just talked about Josh Allen, but really, Ed Oliver, for the longest time, people have looked forward to this 2019 combine because of what Ed Oliver is, you know, supposed to do there in terms of having Aaron Donald-type athleticism. I don't know if he's going to be as big as Aaron Donald, who was a little bit over 280 pounds, which at the time, back in 2014, people were saying, oh, he's a little bit too small. I don't know if, you know, he can really deal with bigger blockers at the NFL level. And that obviously has not been a problem. Oliver's not quite as good using his hands, but the burst off the ball, the motor, are Aaron Donald-like. And it's the closest to Aaron Donald that we've seen in the last 5 drafts since he came into the NFL. And to me, the little incident with his coach certainly will be brought up in interviews, but the fact that he was dealing with a knee injury again and then actually came back to play in Houston's season finale, to me showed that he wasn't quitting on his team, quitting on his coach. Sure, you know, teams are not going to like seeing him argue with his coach on the sideline, but the fact that he came back shows that he's a gamer and he wants to, you know, help his team in any way possible. I think it would be great value. Some people would probably want the Bills to go wide receiver or offensive lineman. But if the top players at those 2 spots are not available at number 9, Ed Oliver would be a great fallback option. And for many teams would be, you know, a top 3 or maybe even number 1 overall player, because he's that talented and was that productive at Houston.
Chris, there's a lot of hype around the 2 tight ends out of Iowa, Fant and Hawkinson, and Hawkinson being somebody that I think some experts have even had in their top 5 on their big board. I'm trying to rack my brain, and you cover the draft a lot closer than I do, and you've got a lot of history with this. Do you ever get value out of taking a tight end in the first round? When was the last time that worked out? The closest I can come up with is O.J. Howard in Tampa Bay, more recently than not.
It's really hard to. I mean, even though we've gotten to a point where tight ends are basically just big receivers who sometimes line up with their hand in the dirt closer to the line, there's just not really a team, or at least we haven't seen one yet, or an offensive coordinator that wants to center its offense around their tight end. That, you know, yes, Zach Ertz just set the tight end catch record this year, but almost every team is featuring wide receivers, is running the football. So I think just that in itself, if a tight end's getting 70, 80, 90 targets, that would be considered a lot. But if it was wide receiver, that's kind of a number 2 or number 3 receiver with how much he's passed today. Maybe Vernon Davis, who kind of had a, you know, bad start to his career in San Francisco and then blossomed later. But yeah, it's kind of hard to get positional value if you're taking a tight end in the top 10. And by the way, for as good as Hawkinson is and for as good as his teammate Noah Fant is, this tight end class is great. And I think the second and third round is really where you can get some quality players, and certainly at a much better value than picking one inside the top 10.
Chris Trapasso joining us, CBS Sports, staying on the offensive side of the ball here. Last year's draft class, Chris, I mean, you had the big star in Saquon Barkley at running back, and even at the end of the first round, Sony Michel scoring the only touchdown in the Super Bowl. He provided value, you could say, for the Patriots. I don't know if you have that sort of starish type of running back, but is there somebody, if you're the Buffalo Bills, that you want to wait till, say, day two, round two or three? Is there a running back that you could wait on that could develop into a featured running back?
Yeah, this is a really interesting conundrum at this point, because some of the really plugged-in draft analysts, the Daniel Jeremiah's, Mel Kiper's, with all the respect in the world for them, they have Josh Jacobs from Alabama, who toward the end of the year was the true number one for the Crimson Tide, but started the season as like the number two or the number three running back. They have him in their top 10 overall prospect. Mm. I did not see that whatsoever with him. Is he a good player? Sure, he's someone that should go in the top 10 like some of the other backs we've seen go in the top 10 recently. Absolutely not. So, I mean, you're going to see and hear things about Josh Jacobs. I think he's more of a second or a third round pick. I think he tries to run into contact too much, and it's just not as explosive down the field as you would like. I'll name two players that are my favorite that I think will go somewhere in that second to fourth round range, which has really become this sweet spot for running backs. My number one running back, Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic. A little bit shorter, but he might have the best feet. He probably does have the best feet of any running back in this class, in that he can make a quick cut up the field on his own play. He can spin out of a would have been tackle for loss, and really get down the field, was incredibly productive and was really the bell cow for them. They had over 30 touchdowns two seasons ago. Was just a dynamic, electric runner. Certainly played down a little bit in terms of his competition. I think he's going to have a great combine, and because he's not coming from a Power 5 school, could be there later. And then Evander Holyfield's son, Elijah Holyfield, another guy with extremely light feet, that he kind of just dances in between the tackles, finds little creases. If he sees daylight to the outside, he has the athleticism to quickly bounce to the outside, plays with some power too, is a very compact and muscular player. I think third, fourth round is someone that, I'm not going to call him J.D. McClory, I'm not going to say they're that elusive, but I think you get a similar style of a make-you-miss type of running back that I think the Bills would love to have, because they do need some youth in their backfield.
Chris, we could talk prospects with you all afternoon. I want to get one more in before we let you go, because I feel like Bills fans in recent weeks have developed a love affair with DK Metcalf. We know that there's a need at the position, but realistically, how's that work?
It's really interesting with him, because I'm a big believer, and I've always kind of had a thing for the bigger power forward type wide receivers. I like Mike Evans more than Sammy Watkins in that 2014 draft class. The ability to win 2 feet above your head means that you're technically always open. For Metcalf, a big thing for him is going to be the combine, because there's some expectations that he's going to run in 4.3s or 4.4s. If he does that at 6.3 and however big he was from that Twitter picture, 220, 230 pounds, I think he's going to go in the top half of the first round just on his physical abilities alone. But when you watch this film, he doesn't really play to his size. There are three or four other wide receivers in this class that I think are better rebounders of the football. I saw some drops, and at Ole Miss, they were really throwing in bubble screens, or he was running go routes. There wasn't really a lot of nuance to what they asked him to do. That's certainly not his fault. And I think he will be a good NFL player, could potentially be an all-pro type, but I don't know if you're going to get that from him immediately. And then after that 2014 class, some of these first-round wide receivers have not really produced quickly at the NFL level. So I'm, enamored with his athleticism and the size that he has. But I think there's a little bit more rawness to his game than we're, hearing on TV or seeing on the internet.
Chris Trapasso, highly, highly recommend. If you want to read up on the draft, go read some of his stuff, CBSSports.com. Chris, do you have anything else coming up this weekend that folks should know about?
Tomorrow I have defensive tackle rankings coming out, which, you know, a lot of Bills fans should probably look at with that whole with Kyle Williams retiring. Could be a, you know, first or second round pick for the Bills. And then next week before the combine, before I head to Indy, I'll be doing secondary. The Bills could use another corner, maybe some depth at safety. So that's what I'll have. And then I'll have all the combine coverage for you from Indianapolis later into next week and the weekend.
Love it. Chris, appreciate your time as always. Safe travels and talk to you again real soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Chris Trapasso in the 585. Draft expert for CBSSports.com. Always great catching up with Chris.
Yeah, I mean, the CBS Sports guy is one of our own. We're so provincial, but he
That's
is
right.
the best. I mean, we're lucky to have that that relationship with Chris Trapasso. If you missed that, we'll have that up online. And again, he signs the number 9, Ed Oliver. Oh, Ed Oliver. You trade up a little. You see, that's the problem. You can't fall in love with any one particular player. And again, I come down on the trade down scenario,
sure.
But if you can get a defensive tackle like that at 9, I can look past whatever thing he had with his coach.
It takes two teams to get that trade down scenario to work out. It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out here in April. And of course, the combine starting late next week. We'll be talking about plenty of combine here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We got NFL appetizers on the way next. Appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. Gino, we might have an actual destination for the Raiders in terms of their 2019-2020 situation.
It might Can I take a guess where it would be? They're going to stay in Oakland, right?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
Hey, right now, if you want free tickets, you know, we're not above bribing you to listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
No, we'll just say it. We will bribe you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jason Aldean is coming to CMAC. The Ride All Night Tour with Kane Brown, Carly Pierce. That's Saturday, August 10th. Tickets are on sale Friday, 10 a.m., Ticketmaster.com. Right now, free Jason Aldean tickets, CMAC tickets. If you call her 5 at 454-ESPN, call her 5-454-3776. Free tickets to the Ride All Night Tour before you can even buy them Friday at 10 a.m. Good luck. NFL appetizers coming up next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.